So severe weather has been on everyone's minds lately, right? Hurricane season. We've had a couple of really devastating ones that we've seen. Hurricane Helene, Hurricane Milton. And around here, you know, we don't think a whole lot about hurricanes, but we do think about tornadoes, don't we? It won't be long until we'll start thinking about tornado season. And there was a meteorologist in Mississippi by the name of Matt Lobbin. And last year, in his area, there are tornadoes touching down. He's live on the air, of course, as he should be. And something interesting happened. And I just want to show you the video of Matt Lobbin on air.
Okay. So, Amory, we need to be in our tornado safe place. We got a new scan coming in here as we speak. Oh, man. Like, north side of Amory, this is coming in. Oh, man. Dear Jesus, please help them. Amen. Okay. So, this is going to track along Highway 25. Unfortunately, this is cut farther, a little bit more east. So, I have it slightly behind me there. This is going to cross the Highway 6 bridge within the next 20 seconds or so. First off, have we made all the phone calls for folks we need to talk to in Amory? For a second. Somebody called Craig's family just to make sure.
Call Craig's family?
Just want to make sure we've had that conversation. I know Craig's probably done that, but I just want to make sure we've done that. Okay. This is probably moving through the northwest portion of Amory now. It has shifted just enough. Golly, no, this is going to be right there. So we have to be in that tornado safe place.
So the deep, intense concern, but I know you noticed, I heard the responses, that quick prayer. Dear Jesus, please help them. Now, Matt Lobbin is a follower of Christ, and he did not go to work that day planning to pray on air. That was just the natural response for him. Prayer was so much a part of his life that that's the first thing he thought to do when he realized how bad things were going to get. He cried out to God in that moment. And so I ask a question of myself, of all of us, do we take prayer for granted? Is it something that we do? We just go through the routine of it? Have we become too desensitized to it, I guess, to where it's lost its meaning? Is it so much a part of our lives that it's just the natural response when we're facing any situation? Are we in constant communion with Christ so that what you saw him do in our lives is just a part of that ongoing conversation that we have with Jesus? Well, over the next several weeks, we're going to be in a series on the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer verse by verse in detail. We have spent a lot of time in prayer over the past several months, intensely over the past few weeks, over the event, the decorations, stage decorations that you see, the bridge event, Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames, has been bathed in prayer. And prayer is going to be a key part of what we do every night before the presentation. But prayer should be an intense part of our lives each and every day. And so when we go through this series, the series is called Learning How to Pray Like Jesus. Hopefully, we are going to learn how to go deeper in our prayer life, how to grow in our prayer life. The goal of this series is this: through our relationship with Jesus, we can talk to God any place, anytime, about anything. What a blessing it is to be able to pray. The goal is to realize that prayer is a huge blessing, a connection to our Creator. And that should motivate us, knowing Him as we just sang. The more we know Him, the more we love Him. The more we seek Him, the more we know Him. We should have an intense desire to know Him more and to know His will for our lives. And prayer is the way that we communicate with Christ. What a difference it can make in our lives when we pray. Now, we find the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 through this series. That's where we will be reading from. The title of today's sermon is Intimacy and Majesty. So I'm going to ask you to read, just to follow along with me as I read the Lord's Prayer from the New American Standard Version. Verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer is the most famous prayer in all the world. It's been said that around 2 billion people say the Lord's Prayer on Easter Sunday alone. Most everybody has heard of or even knows the Lord's Prayer by heart. But I want to give you 2 facts about the Lord's Prayer. There is no doubt that the Lord's Prayer is the number one most used prayer in the world, and it is also the number one most abused prayer in all the world. So I want us to understand the intent behind the Lord's Prayer. What does the Lord's Prayer mean in general, and what does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? It's called the Lord's Prayer because the Lord gave it to us, but I think a more accurate title would be the Believer's Prayer Guide. And maybe even a more accurate title than that is the Disciple's Model Prayer. When we come to the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer is an outline for us, for believers to follow. It has all the prayer essentials so that you and I can pray effectively. And each phrase of the Lord's Prayer has deep significance that connects us to God and answers the desires of the human heart. It's more than just words that we say. There is meaning behind those words. And the prayer itself, if we follow Jesus' intent in teaching the disciples to pray, what he was trying to teach them, if we understand that and apply that in our prayer life, we will realize that it will connect our hearts to God in a very unique and special way. This prayer is intended to be an outline. These things should be what's in our prayer on a regular basis. Now, I need to give you the setting here in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is teaching the disciples. He's teaching them, teaching about prayer. And he starts, if you look at verses 5 through 8, he's really teaching them how not to pray. He says in verses 5 through 8, he's saying 3 times, when you pray. So he's showing them first how not to do it. He's saying the wrong way to pray. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Hey, look at me showing off. I'm spiritual. Look at me. And then he says, don't pray like the heathen. The heathen say, God, you perform for me. You do what I want, trying to bend God's will to their will. So he's saying, here's how not to pray. And so you can kind of see what's going on here in the picture. These disciples who are listening are hearing God explain how not to pray. So they have to be thinking, okay, well, you're telling us how not to do it. How do we pray? They've seen Jesus pray. They know he prays regularly. Prayer is a part of his life. He's teaching. And so finally, one of the disciples speaks up and says, Lord, teach us to pray. So they know how not to do it. Now, Jesus, teach us. We want to know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. So Jesus gives them this outline, the Lord's Prayer, this outline in how to pray. And we're just going to look at verse 9 this morning in this first message and discover from verse 9 3 lessons for living and praying in our prayer life, our walk with Christ. The first is this. It's very clear in Jesus' life and in this passage that prayer is a priority of God. Prayer is a priority of God. It's a priority for him, and it should be a priority for us. Look at verse 9 again. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Pray then like this, that phrase. This means along this line. Some of your versions probably say, in this way, pray. He's showing us how to pray. Jesus said to pray this way. He did not say, pray these words. He said, in this way, pray. Pray then like this. This is how you should pray. The Lord's Prayer was never intended to be words that we religiously, ritualistically repeat. It is intended to be a guide in how to pray. Now, some religions, even denominations, every Sunday, sometimes multiple times in a service, will repeat the Lord's Prayer word for word ritualistically. Now, let me be clear. It is not wrong to say out loud the Lord's Prayer. It is God's word, and it is never wrong to say God's word out loud. It is okay to say the Lord's Prayer word for word as long as you understand what it means and it's not just a religious exercise or it's ritualistic for you. When it becomes ritualistic that somehow if I say the Lord's Prayer accurately or a certain number of times in a worship setting or in my day, I get brownie points with God. No, that's not how it works. It is Jesus teaching us how to pray. It is an outline for us to follow. We need to understand the significance of what we're saying and why we're saying it. Now look at that word pray. You may say, I know what prayer is. And you may. But there are a lot of words in the Bible for pray, for prayer. That word pray in verse 9, first of all, we need to understand it is a verb. It's an activity. It's something that we do. What does that word pray mean in verse 9? It's a really rich word. It means to interact with God where you switch from what you want to what He wants and the strength that God provides. Here's what it means. Prayer is about getting God's will done on earth, not about getting God to do my will. Humility and submission is where we begin. It's not about getting God to bend to my desires and will. Prayer is about getting His will done on earth. Before He even gets into the prayer, Jesus is reminding us that it's not about you and me. It's about God, His will. It's not about God do this or God do that. It's about getting in line with God's will, getting my heart and my life in line with His will. We may think we know what's best for us, our church, our marriage, our family, our job, relationships. We may think we know what's best and have good intentions and purity in terms of our motivation, but only God truly knows what's best for your life, for my family, for this church, for relationships, for my career, your career. Only God truly knows what's best. And prayer is essential. And part of the reason it's essential is because it is how we get in line with God's will. You know, I'm thankful, you know, not at the time, but I'm thankful for the times that God did not answer my prayers the way I thought He should. Because later on, in following His will, I discovered that He truly does know what's best for me. I thought I knew what was best, but only He truly knew what was best for me. It may not have seemed like the best thing at the time, but in hindsight, I can see God's hand moving in my life and directing my life to accomplish His purposes. Prayer is not about, God, you do for me what I want. It's about, God, I want to do what you want done on this earth, in my life, and in this church, in my family. We should never get tired of learning how to pray. You know, some of us maybe have healthier prayer lives than others, and I'm sure that's the case. Some of you have done intense studies on praying. I've led the church in a Wednesday night study through praying. We've talked about prayer. We've learned about prayer, some of you multiple times, but we never should get to the point to where we think we've learned all there is to know about God. Certainly, we shouldn't think that about prayer. If you are alive, if we are here today, then there's something we can learn about prayer. And that is my prayer in this series, is that we all grow in our knowledge of prayer, but also in our application, in our relationship with God through prayer. Prayer is essential and critical to the spiritual life of this church and to your spiritual life. There are a lot of ministries that we do here at Wall Highway. Just with this week alone, with Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames, not all of you feel led to act on stage, right? I don't. Not all of you maybe are good at constructing the stage or feel led to do that. There are many different jobs. Not all of you feel led to be a part of providing food or counseling those who make decisions. Not all of you feel led to work in the children's ministry, which we always do need children's workers. So, you know, don't let me discourage you in that. Even if you don't feel led, God may call you. But the point is we're not all gifted in the same way. But here's the thing about prayer. Each and every follower of Christ is called to pray. That is the universal call for all followers of Christ. We are all of us. It doesn't matter how old or young you are, how healthy or not, how much you can get around or how much you can't. We can all pray. And we are all called to pray. We're called to grow in our prayer. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is revolutionary, okay? Revolutionary. Three components of prayer. Are you ready? This is not in your outline, but I want you to write it down. I walked around this week and saw a lot of empty papers outlined, so I love it when I see people actually writing. I was not offended, but take notes. It's good. Three components of prayer. You ready? Number one, pray. Number two, pray. Number three, pray. Pray. There's a whole lot in terms of the outline that Jesus gives us, but the most important, the key to prayer is just doing it. Just praying. Prayer shows that we are serious about our relationship with God and our fellowship with Jesus because we want to spend time with Him. Prayer shows that we are dependent on God. By praying, I'm saying, Lord, I need you in my life. Let me give you a statement. It's going to seem controversial at first, but hear me out. There is no power in prayer. There is no power in the one praying. There is only power in the one we pray to. And prayer is how God has decided when we pray, it pulls the trigger and releases God's power in and through your and my life. That's His design. There is power in prayer in the sense that God works through the one praying and the people who are praying to accomplish His purposes and to reveal His will, to show His power. But there is only power in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He has chosen to use you and me. And prayer is how His power is released in our lives. God will never, I want you to understand, God will never leave one of your prayers unanswered. Now, He will answer with yes, no, or wait. And when people talk about unanswered prayer, what we really mean, and what we should understand, is that God is usually saying wait in those moments. It's not His time to answer that prayer. He will answer it. Many times we think our prayers go unanswered because we give up when He doesn't answer in our time. Or He says no, and we don't like that answer. Nobody likes to be told no, right? But God will always answer our prayers. It will be yes, no, or wait. He will never leave a prayer unanswered. Sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayers the way we expect to Him, it's hard to understand that. It's hard to understand why. We think we know what's best. We think we're on the right track. And when He doesn't answer in line with what we think, we have a hard time understanding that, coming to terms with that. But we need to trust that His answer to our prayer is always right. It's always right on time. It's always for our good from an eternal perspective. And it's always, always for His glory. And we should be concerned with the glory of God and glorifying him in our lives. It's easy to feel guilty about how much or how little we pray. This series is not about producing guilt in your life. Okay, let me get that clear from the get-go. This is not what this is about. This is about all of us having an increased desire to pray and all of us growing in our prayer life. I recently read or heard a thing called Sea Trek Underwater Helmet Diving. It's in St. Thomas in the Caribbean, so the next time you're in the Caribbean, I wouldn't mind going there pretty soon, right? But next time you're there, you can check this out. It's Sea Trek Underwater Helmet Diving. And here's the thing about this underwater diving. You don't have to be scuba certified to do it. And you don't even have to know how to swim, all right? It's amazing. And they even have in their advertisement that you will not even get your hair wet or mess your hair up. All right, so if you're concerned about that, you can do this. You ask, how are you able to do this? If you can't swim, you would think that would be important, right? Or if you're not scuba certified, well, here's how they do it. I've got a picture to show you. Here's how they do it. They have these helmets that you wear, just like these two, and you can barely see it, but they're holding on to a guardrail. So you can walk along the ocean floor holding on to this guardrail, see all of the fish, the sea life, the coral, all of these things. So if that interests you, you can be a part of this. And how they do it is this. Those helmets, you see those little blue hoses coming up out of those helmets. You see those? That is their lifeline. That is how they receive oxygen. Put on the helmet, as long as it's secure, it's on there, you're going to be getting oxygen. That is their lifeline to the surface that brings down the oxygen that they need to walk around in the midst of all that they are in at the bottom. It's about 20 feet down, something like that, the bottom of the seafloor. This is a picture of prayer. All right? You and I are in this world, all of the chaos, all of the trials, all of the problems, all of the challenges. Prayer is our lifeline to Jesus through which he communicates his will. We grow closer to him and his power in our lives to survive in a world where otherwise we would be dead spiritually. Prayer is our lifeline. That's how important it is. That's how important it should be in our lives. So pray then like this, Jesus says. That's the first lesson. It is a priority to him. The second lesson is this. Prayer includes intimacy with God. Prayer includes intimacy with God. Jesus said this in verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, that first word, our. Right off the bat, right out of the gate here, Jesus is making the point that prayer is not about us, not about me individually. He's teaching us that when we go to God in prayer, don't start off making it all about yourself. I shouldn't make it all about myself. Don't start with, God, I need this. God, I need that. God, will you do this? Don't start there. Jesus is saying the heart of our prayer should be focusing on him. That first word, our, he's reminding us it's a plural pronoun. You won't find one singular pronoun in this prayer because it's not about me. It's not only about me. He says we should start with the thought of God as our Father. This is huge. He's teaching us then that when we go to him, we're not making it about us. And he's reminding us that prayer is not only for me, it's for others too. I need to be thinking about God. I need to be thinking about others. The word our reminds us of the unity of a church family and that we can pray for one another. We need to share our lives with each other. But what's the word right after our? Father. That word Father, God wants us to relate to him as Father. It's not all about me, but it's about us. And we, as his children, can relate to him as Father. He longs for us to call him Father. He loves it when we call him Father. And it goes deeper than that. You can look at verses like Galatians 6:4, where we call him, we just went through that book, we call him Abba Father. And if you remember, that's the word we use in our language would be daddy. It's an intimate name for Father. A close, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. Think about that. With the God of the universe, we can call him daddy. We can call him Father. Understand this thought. It's true that anyone can call God their Father, but the only way God is your Father is if Jesus is your Savior. Jesus must be your Savior if God is truly going to be your Father. Anybody can call him Father, but the only way he's truly your Father is if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You know, some people believe that since God's the creator of all, he's the Father of all, that anybody can call him Father, but that's not the case. I mean, you can call him that, but he's not truly your Father. It's not what the Bible teaches. In order for him to be your Father, Jesus must be your Savior. John 1 and 11 and 12 shows us that you have to be a believer in Jesus Christ in order to be a child of God. Ephesians 2:19, you have to be adopted into God's family. John 3, you have to be born again into God's family. The single greatest thing is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to accept his sacrifice for your sins, to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But think about that. Isn't it wild that the creator of everything that we see, we can call him Father? That we can have this intimate relationship, that he wants to have this intimate relationship with us? You know, the Lord's Prayer starts with intimacy, our Father. It doesn't start in this religious, formal, you know, ritualistic, our Father. No, it's not. It's our Father, our together, our Father, a relationship, a father-son, father-daughter relationship that we have with him through Jesus Christ. It's about love, intimacy, an everyday life-changing relationship. Our. Together we are the family of God because Jesus has forgiven us and he saved us. And because of my relationship with Jesus, I can call him Father. The Lord's Prayer is not about a religion about God. It is about a loving relationship through Jesus Christ with God. I don't know what type of earthly father you had. For some of you, this concept of father can be very difficult because of your earthly father. But here's what I do know. I know that whoever the best earthly father is, he's still not perfect. None of us are perfect. We've all failed. And if you could imagine the most perfect earthly father who met your needs perfectly, who knew your heart perfectly, who provided for your family perfectly, who never made a wrong decision for you as a child or your family. If we can imagine that perfect earthly father, here's what I know. As good as that father is, there's only one truly perfect father, and that is God, our Father. And he loves you, and he wants to show you, even if your relationship with your father in this life was not good, he wants to show you what true fatherly love is all about. He wants to love you as his own. That's the privilege that we have through Jesus Christ in our relationship with God. Prayer is a priority of God, intimacy with God. It's also intimacy with God. And then third, prayer acknowledges the majesty of God. Prayer acknowledges the majesty of God. Now, this is difficult. You come to this prayer or any time in Scripture where we have sort of this paradox, right? We have God as Father, Jesus as our friend, the relationship that we have, the intimacy that we have with God, but we also have very clearly the holiness and the majesty of God. And here we have both back to back, our Father, intimacy, and then hallowed be your name, the majesty of God. On earth, in heaven, we understand that he is above and separate from us. He is holy. He is unique, but we also have this close relationship. It's difficult to comprehend, much less explain to a group of people, but I'm going to try my best. Let's look again at verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's natural to see that phrase in heaven and think about God's location, right? We just kind of, our mind just kind of naturally goes there. We think about where he is. But what this verse is not really talking about his location. Get that kind of out of your mind for a moment. It's not talking about his location. It's talking about his elevation. That's what this is referring to. It's talking about his elevation. It's talking about not his location, his elevation. It's saying that God is higher than you and I. We know biblically that there are three heavens where we are, the atmosphere where the birds fly. There is also the stellar, and then there is actual heaven where God is. But what this is talking about is God's elevation, that he's higher. It's saying that in prayer, we should humble ourselves. Our Father, there's intimacy, but we need to always remember in heaven his majesty. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heaven is higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He is higher. He is greater. In May of 2023, Nature magazine came out with an article, and scientists were amazed because they witnessed something they had not seen before. They had never seen anything like this. They saw a star eat a planet the size of Jupiter. A star ate a planet. Now, you got to admit, that would be pretty cool to see. They said that this star that ate this planet burned 100 times brighter for 10 days after eating that planet. Must have been some incredible heartburn, right? No, but they witnessed this and they were amazed by this. This star, it's always dangerous when I play with numbers, but some of you will correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, I know. 12,000 light years away, which if I understand this correctly, is about 700 trillion miles away. This is how far away this was, and they were able to witness it for the first time. And we think about stars eating planets, and we think about the vastness of our universe. We think about meteorites. We think about galaxies. We think about what we know and think about how much we don't know because we haven't been able to witness it yet, how vast the universe is, and we are amazed by that. We should be amazed by that. But think about all of that, and the Bible says that God made the world. He made it all, the universe, with his word. God fills the heavens, Jeremiah 23:24. God holds that and marks it in the span of his hand. He keeps it all running, Ephesians 1:21. Think about that. Think about God is that big, he is that high, and that should humble us. We should be humble before the God of the universe. And when we approach God in prayer, we need to think about the majesty of God. He is so much higher than you and I. He's not just this old buddy chum that we talk to. Yes, he is our Father and we have that intimacy, but he is higher than us. He is greater than we could ever imagine. And here's the dilemma. The Lord's Prayer starts with God. Our Father, a personal relationship, intimate love that we experience, but also in heaven, his profound, infinite greatness. It starts intimacy, love, but also majesty. You know, last year, something happened that had not happened for a long time. In Britain, King Charles was coronated in May of last year. It was a big event in world history. Millions of Americans, even all over the world, it was like something like 400 billion people that watched this coronation live. I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't even know it had happened. I knew it was happening, but I did not watch it. I'm not a royal follower, okay? There was talk about it in my house. So I knew what was going on. I knew, you know, the queen had died. I knew that the coronation would happen, but I wasn't following it. But many, many people did. It was an amazing worldwide event, King Charles' coronation. And I brought a picture of his coronation portrait that I want to show you here. All right, you see there the scepter that he's holding is valued at $400 million, just the scepter. The crown he's wearing is considered priceless. The best estimate is $8 billion. Amazing, right? When he was made king, it was said that it was the most secure event in recent history. I mean, millions were spent on security, police. They went overboard to make sure this was a secure event. Now, can you imagine coronation? He's in the throne room, and you just happen to be there. You are a royal follower. Unlike me, you're a royal follower, okay? And you decide, you know what? I think I'm just going to walk right into, I want to have a chat with King Charles. I'm just going to walk right into that throne room and just have a little powwow. How far do you think you would have gotten on this day? Not very far. They went to great lengths to make sure that you and I would not get that far. Anybody would get that far. Now that's pretty amazing. $8 billion, right? $400 million, millions on security. Think about the first four words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. Intimacy, but majesty. Talk about a crown, a palace, millions, billions of dollars. And, you know, not to diss King Charles, but I'm thinking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, almighty, all-powerful, no one greater, no equal, no error, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and you and I are invited to walk right into his presence and commune with him. Can't get to King Charles, but you can get to the God of the universe. As great as all of that is, as majestic as all of that is, nothing compares to the majesty of our Creator. And we are invited through Jesus Christ to have fellowship. That paradox, that glorious paradox, the intimacy, our Father, the majesty in heaven. We should constantly stand amazed. The all-powerful, all-knowing, fully God, fully everywhere, no equal, no error. It makes me want to do this. It makes me want to, hallowed be your name. That's what it makes me want to do. The intimacy and majesty of all of that in his presence. That word name in verse 9 is the total sum of everything that God is and everything that God does. Don't just look at name, hallowed be your name, and just read Pat. No, everything that God is and everything that God does, it's all wrapped up in that one word. Hallowed be your name. All that God is, all that God does, his attributes, his wisdom, his character, his activity, his person, his holiness, he has no equal, he has no error. It's all wrapped up in his name. And what are we called to do with his name? We are called to hallow his name. And hallow is not a word that we use very often. Some of you may not even know what that word means, but we may not understand the word hallow, but we are all hallowers because there's something in each of our lives that we place importance on above everything else in our lives. That's what that means. It means to lift up and place importance on. We value more than anything else. It may be money. It may be ourselves. It may be stuff. It may be relationships. It may be pleasure. It may be whatever. There's something in your life that you place importance on, that you value above anything else. We all hallow something, but hallowed be your name means this. Hallowed be your name means because God is worth more than anything else, and we value him more than anything else. We want our God lifted up. where the world visibly sees and experiences all that is wrapped up in his holy name, the majesty, the holiness, no equal, all powerful, everywhere. God above all, hallowed be your name. We are lifting up for the world to see all that is wrapped up in his holy name. So how do we do that? How do we lift up the name of God in a way that the world will see all that is wrapped up in his name? It's through the church. Those who bear his name are called to hallow his name. And there are two ways that we do that. We do that through worship and witness. In worship, we want to show and tell Jesus how special he is. And in witness, we want to show and tell Jesus to the world how special he is, that salvation is available through him, that he wants to draw them into a relationship with him. When we come to church, we come to worship. We want to hallow his name. And when we're on mission, going about our daily lives, doing bridge events like Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames, we want to show and tell the world how special Jesus is. And here's the truth. Our intimacy with God, our Father, and the majesty of God in heaven leads us to surrendering our lives to hallow his name in both worship and missions, living on mission for God. And in this, we lift up Jesus and we glorify God. If Jesus is my Savior, my life has been changed by his saving grace, then there's going to be a passion in my very being, a passion in my gut to worship him and to live on mission for him. There's only one that we should call. No disrespect again to King Charles, but there's only one that we should truly call your majesty. And that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And he is teaching us here in verse 9, prayer is not about you. It's not about me. Life is not about me. Prayer is about the Lord Jesus Christ, his majesty, his mission, his greatness, his holiness, everything that he is. Prayer is about the fact that he is higher. But this high above the heavens, indescribable, greater than all, all powerful, everywhere all the time, no equal, no error, this God above the universe lowered himself to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross to save me of my sins, so that I, for all of eternity, can say, our Father. Relationship. This God above all, no equal, lowered himself so that I can experience that intimacy, our Father. So my question for you this morning is, can you call him Father because he's your Savior? Is he your Father? Jesus has to be your Savior before you can call him Father. Do you need to grow in your prayer life? I do. I'll acknowledge. I think we all can grow. I know we all can grow in our prayer life. And we're going to have a chance to do that over the next several weeks. Another question, how special is Jesus to you? Is he hallowed in your heart, in your life, in your home, at work, at school? And finally, I don't know what you fear, what fear you have about the future, but I think we all have something that we're concerned about, right? Could be a child, could be just the world. I don't know, it could be severe weather, I don't know. Something in your life that's consuming your thoughts, that you don't know how it's going to work out. Your daily schedule is filled with pressure and stress. We all have stress, some of us more than others. Some of you are facing important decisions and you don't exactly know what to do. It seems like any decision you make, there are going to be consequences, and that may be the case. There always is, but it may seem like there are going to be negative consequences regardless of which direction you go. Some of you have deep, real struggles in your heart. Some of you are going through struggles and difficulties, but I know this, you have a Father that loves you, who cares for you deeply. He will never leave you. And as good as your earthly father may have been, he didn't always get it right, but God always does. He understands completely and intimately everything that is going on in your life. And whatever you're facing, he's intimate, he's your father, he is also God. Holy, majestic, all-powerful. There's nothing that he can't handle. He may not answer your prayers the way you want. He may not answer them in the time that you want, but he will answer your prayers. And he will do it in a way that's best for you and your family from an eternal perspective. For your good, from an eternal perspective. He is all has all power. He is in total control. He is fulfilling his great plan to hallow his great name in your life. I really intended to ask Mandy about this before I've shared it. It's not embarrassing to her. I wouldn't do that. I've learned that. But I guess it was a couple of years ago. It may have been during COVID, and I really hope I'm remembering this correctly, but one day a little kid showed up at our door, right? Yeah. So I wasn't there. Mandy was at home, and I don't know if he rang the doorbell or what. He knocked on the door. Mandy opens the door, and there's just this little kid there at our front door. She didn't know the little kid, and he was small. How old was he? Yeah, about 2 years old, a little less. So here's this little kid. You know, we don't live in the busiest neighborhood, but there's a lot of traffic and don't know who this kid is. And I know my wife. I know, you know, the thought probably crossed her mind, at least for a split second. Hey, we've got room. You can just live with us, you know. Had I been there, I would have had something to say about that. We filled our quota. I know some of you are laughing at that because you've got more kids than us. But no, I mean, that I'm sure on some level her heart was, I know it was, her heart was, I want to take care of this kid, right? And I don't even know what he said or how he said it. Eventually found the mom. He had slipped away, you know. And before you're too judgmental, if you have kids, one of your kids has slipped away without you seeing it before, okay? It's happened to me. But anyway, we got him back to his mom. She did. But, you know, think about that for a moment. I don't know why he came to our house, but he obviously came wanting something, right? Maybe he realized he was lost and in trouble, and he just went to the first house he saw. But there's only so much Mandy could do. If I was there, there's only so much that I could do. Because why? Not my child. I mean, he could have asked for food. I would have been, you know, hesitant to give him food. I don't know if he has any allergies. I don't know, you know, what his mom would think of that. You know, I mean, he could have said, hey, I want to live here, and I want you to take care of me. And again, she probably would have been had a tendency to want to go along with that. But not our child. Doesn't matter what he asks me, there's only so much I can do. He was coming to the wrong person, didn't know it, but coming to the wrong person to ask for needs. I mean, we got him back to where he needed to go, but, you know, your child, if they are in serious need, they're going to come to you, right? I always joke that when life gets serious, all my kids go to her. When they want to play and have treats, they come to me, and that's fine. But we go to our parents. It's built into us. It's hardwired into our DNA. And when that relationship is broken, it affects us deeply. But that child, only so much we could do. But here's the invitation to you and to me. Your perfect heavenly Father is inviting you into his presence. And he has the ability, more than I can do for my kids, he has the ability to provide for your every need, spiritual and physical. And he desires to do that in a way that glorifies his name and is in line with his will for your life. But you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In order for him to be your Father, Jesus has to be your Lord. Let's just take a moment and bow.